The holidays bring about abundance of gifts for many and an abundance of trash. Wrapping paper and the plastic packaging many items come in. A new poll of 2,000 consumers finds they estimate consuming 43% more trash during the holidays. Using less stuff estimates the holidays produce a 25% increase in garbage. Some of that could be recycled depending on where you live and the services provided. To address a void of recycling in some communities and states, the Biden administration is launching the first ever National Recycling Strategy Program. Nina Shaw is the acting director of the Resource Conservation and Sustainability Division at the Environmental Protection Agency.
What we're trying to do is ensure that people recognize that recycling is an economic development opportunity, that the commodity prices for these materials in terms of cardboard, aluminum cans, steel cans, paper, et cetera, all of it is really valuable, especially now as supply chains are constricted and have challenges because of COVID and other reasons, right? And so recycling is a huge economic development opportunity. It's a job opportunity. It's a climate change opportunity. It's an environmental justice opportunity. And we really hope that this strategy gives us the ability to highlight all of the excellent opportunities that really present themselves as we think about our materials in a different way.
She says a trade war with China during the Trump administration resulted in China rejecting U.S. waste and recycling materials and drove the need for a national recycling plan at home. China's move caused massive backlogs of recycling and garbage pileups at dumps across the country.
I really think it was the China sword policy and the change in trade of our materials across the globe that really caused everybody to focus and say, we have an opportunity now to really rethink materials management, and solid waste management in this country. And I think that's ultimately what led Congress, which is sort of where all this generated from. Our FY19 or 20 appropriations language asked us to create a framework and then ultimately to create the strategy.
Part of the national strategy is to increase recycling nationwide to 50% by 2030. To help achieve that level, the bipartisan infrastructure bill that Congress recently passed and President Joe Biden signed provides $350 million to help kickstart recycling programs in communities where there are none, or to help advance existing infrastructure. Again, Shaw.
That gave us money, approximately $350 million, $55 million a year for 5 years, to really focus on infrastructure. This is the first significant investment that EPA has really been able to make in this sector. So this is an incredible opportunity, not only for EPA, but also to give money to states and municipalities to do the work that we know is so necessary and is so needed. There just hasn't been this type of investment in the solid waste management infrastructure.
Well, $55 million doesn't seem like much in the scheme of things, considering that infrastructure to support a recycling industry, I imagine, will cost much more.
Absolutely. I think you're right. But at the same time, it really allows us, we think, to provide the proof of concept and the need that's out there. But we're also hoping to identify strategies that are going to be replicable, that will demonstrate the need and the importance of the funding. And hopefully, right, fingers crossed, Congress continues to recognize. And we have huge bipartisan support on both sides of the aisle on this issue, which is really unique.
Shaw says one of the projects they'll be working on is mapping recycling services and communities without them across the country. She says they're also encouraging Congress to join the Basel Convention. It's an international treaty to reduce movement of hazardous waste from wealthy nations to poorer ones. Last year, it added plastics to its list. More than 50 nations have ratified it. More than 188 are parties to it. The U.S. signed it in 1990, but failed to ratify it. You're listening to the Pacifica Evening News from KPFA Berkeley, also on KFCF Fresno and KPFK in LA. I'm Christina Onnested. 7 new recycling laws going into effect starting the first of the year in California, including standards for recycling labels and experts, new bottle and can recycling options, and single-use food utensil restrictions. Another bill launches statewide food and yard waste recycling into new green products, but the largest recycling efforts in the state have gone to waste, says Jamie Court, president of Consumer Watchdog. He spoke with KPFA News about failures in the state's recycling programs.
But California is in the toilet. California pretends to be good on recycling, but it's a disaster. And the people in power know it.
Well, you know, some areas don't even have recycling.
Exactly. There's no recycling center in Humboldt County. Not a single one. San Francisco. San Francisco doesn't have a single grocery store taking back bottles and cans because the state let them all out of it when there was a pilot project with a mobile truck that was supposed to be going around the city, but the mobile truck plan never started. So there are literally 2 recycling centers for all of San and San Francisco. There's no recycling center west of the 405 freeway in Los Angeles. All of the west side of LA has no recycling center, not a single recycling center. I mean, there are these big recycling deserts, we call them. Our bottle deposit program, the CRV program, where you do a nickel and dime for a can or bottle and then supposedly get it back to recycle it, and then the industry doesn't have to make new bottles and cans. That circular economy program is completely broken. And it's been broken for a while, but the pandemic really accelerated it. And we now have what is called a redemption rate of 58%. That's a little more than 50% of the time we're getting our bottles and cans, nickels and dimes back. And what's worse is there just aren't places. The redemption centers have closed. The grocery stores that are obligated to step in when the redemption centers are closed aren't doing it, and the state's not enforcing it. And as a result, people are just throwing their bottles and cans curbside in single stream because it's only a nickel or a dime. But what happens when it goes curbside into these single baskets that are mixed in with oily pizza boxes and all sorts of stuff is the contamination rate is huge. And more than 40% of what we throw curbside is going to landfill. And the waste haulers are then actually the only state in the nation where the waste haulers are able to collect our CRVs. So they're getting the money for materials that are packaged up and weighed, but aren't going anywhere but landfill. So we have the worst of all worlds. We have a CRV program, bottle program, meant to incentivize recycling that doesn't work, because we haven't required our grocery stores and retailers to take back the bottles and cans, even though they are legally obligated to. The state has not enforced that. We have redemption centers closing. We've got waste haulers picking up the material, collecting money for it, and then putting it in landfill. And the government knows it, but hasn't done anything about it. And as a result, you know, the Container Recycling Institute, which is a national program on monitoring recycling all across America, found that the failure of our bottle deposit program in California is costing 750,000 tons of greenhouse gases, the equivalent of putting more than 160,000 new cars on the road, because of all the new bottles and cans that have to be manufactured because we're not recycling them. So we're looked at as, because we're green California, right, as this recycling center. But the only thing that's really being done on recycling are innovations by, you know, manufacturers where they're using cardboard instead of those plastic rings to hold things together. What the state has done is allowed this bottle deposit program. We have 10 state bottles, 10 bottle deposit programs in 10 states where you get a nickel or dime back, in some states as much as 10 cents or 20 cents back for your bottles and cans, which actually incentivizes recycling. And California is the third lowest in terms of the redemption rate, 58%. States like Oregon and Michigan have almost 90% redemption rate because they make it available for you to be able to bring your bottles and cans back. They have automation, they have it at grocery stores, these reverse vending machines, they're very effective. California has not invested in that.
There are several recycling bills that are going into effect at the first of the year. How are they going to affect what's happening?
Well, they're not really. One of them, they have to use the recycling symbol of the, you know, the three arrows only in places where 60% of communities actually recycle the products. But just because you're throwing something in a bin to get recycled at the curbside and it's mixing in with all these other things doesn't mean it's really recyclable. In fact, most of the plastic we sent in the single bins at our curbside don't get recycled because it gets mixed up with static electricity and dirt, and it's not recyclable. Some of the aluminum is, and mostly a lot of the glass breaks and isn't. So just because it says recyclable doesn't mean it's not a landfill. So that reform is, I think, is basically creating more illusion about what's recycling and what's not recycling if we don't have the infrastructure to actually do the recycling. The other bill, potentially useful, it's significant. It says that you can reuse containers, and so you can wash out a plastic container. You can wash out a glass container. And manufacturers that choose to do that can collect the CRV on that, and they can have that as a recycled product. And I think that's a good plan, but again, it relies on the will of manufacturers to do that. So we're doing really modest reform. And unfortunately, our recycling infrastructure is what needs to change.
What needs to happen to really take recycling to the next level in the state?
Well, we have a bill by Senator Bob Wieckowski, SB 38, that actually passed the state Senate, which is really good news. The first time this bill passed the state Senate, and it's waiting action in the state assembly. And it basically would create what we call an extended producer responsibility system. This is where the beverage companies themselves are responsible for the recycling of their own materials. They have to create a system with enough points of convenience where consumers have the ability to recycle. This is what basically the system in every other bottle deposit program in all the continental United States, every other bottle deposit program is based on. California has a unique system. The government runs the system. It's like the Hawaii system, and it's just not working. If we put it on the beverage companies to create their own networks, it's much more efficient. Number one, they're distributing the bottles and cans, so they have a reverse system to pick them up after they're empty. They don't like it because it puts a burden on them, but they do it in every other bottle deposit state in the continental United States and everywhere across the world, Norway, Germany. This is how the systems work. They then deploy reverse vending machines and bag drops, automation, and they eliminate fraud because they don't want fraud on them. They want to get those bottles and cans and reuse them. So it is the first time that this bill, Senate Bill 38, has actually made it out of either house. Because it's so bad, it's made it out of the Senate. Now we have to move it out of the Assembly. And I believe if the governor gets behind the system, we can. It would call for a 90% redemption rate. It would allow, if the redemption rate gets up, for the bottle deposit to go from a nickel to a dime. That's what incentivizes people to bring it back. And we require the beverage companies to have 5,000 places across the state that are convenient for dropping off the bottles and cans, mostly to the retailers, because we know that when people can return bottles and cans to the place they bought it, that's when they're going to do it. They're going to bring back their bottles and cans when they buy the next set of bottles and cans, and they're going to get their money. And if it's 10 cents, it's even more of an incentive than 5 cents, and they're going to make recycling work. But we have not done that in California. All the other states where it works, and in Canada where it works, that's how they do it. And we just need to get the grocery stores and the retailers understanding that they have to be part of it. We need the beverage companies to take responsibility for it. And we need the trash haulers, who are the biggest obstacle to all of this, to get out of the way, because they're making a lot of money off the CRV they're collecting at curbside, even though, as I said, it goes to landfill. The waste haulers are the biggest obstacle to reform. They actually get more than 50% of the payments in the recycling program, the bottle bill program, even though they only recycle 10% of the materials. They get more than 50% of payments recycling 10% of the materials. They want to keep it that way. That's why the redemption centers, where most of the materials are going through, are closing. And they've closed, more than half the centers have closed in the last 5 years because they haven't had adequate payment, and the waste hauler has been getting paid too much. It is a big political problem. You know, in San Francisco, there's not a single grocer or bodega or liquor store that has to take a bottle and can back. It is an outrage. That stopped as of July 1st. There are 450 stores taking back bottles and cans because there's not enough redemption centers, and the stores have to step in when there's not a redemption center. And yet, we don't have a single store taking back because they approved the pilot project of a mobile truck to drive across the city. This is CalRecycle, Governor Newsom's agency, approved this pilot project. And when the pilot project was approved, there was some legislation sponsored by Phil Tseng, an assembly member, that said, if a pilot project's approved in an area, the grocery stores and retailers don't have to take back cans and bottles. The big problem is the pilot project was approved in July and hasn't started. So for 6 months, there's been literally two redemption centers on the edge of town where you can return your bottles and cans, in San Francisco, and that's it. We have, you know, this pilot project that comes in. The grocery stores are let out of their obligation to take back bottles and cans. The pilot project doesn't even start because of bureaucratic ineptitude. And it won't replace all those stores when it does, because it's a single truck driving across the city. You know, how are you going to catch the truck? You're going to bend your schedule to find where the truck is and go to it. It's not going to create a 90% redemption rate. It just shows that this system is never going to be fixed unless we have a systemic reform.
I think it's also worth noting that, you know, many of these recycling centers were actually provided an income for homeless people mm-hmm. who would gather recyclables and take the CRVs to these centers that are now shuttered.
Yeah, and they're shuttered because they were not paid enough. And now, in, like I say, in San Francisco, there are two centers about a half mile apart, right on the edge of town. That's the only place you can go to bring your recycling. And if you're homeless, it's not easy to get there. And that's why if we need to have real recycling, we need to create an infrastructure to do it. And the bottle deposit bill is the easiest way for the governor to fix this system, because
Jamie Court is president of Consumer Watchdog, a public interest nonprofit.